It is 1:29. This is KUAR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We are going to be breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. This is the latest in a series of briefings the governor and state health officials have been giving. Since the first positive case of COVID-19 in Arkansas was identified just over 3 weeks ago. Since then, here in the state, we have seen the total number of positive test results go up to 566, and the number of deaths currently at 8 people. At yesterday's press briefing, Secretary of the Department of Health, Dr. Nate Smith, said the latest person to die was over the age of 65 and that they passed away at the White River Medical Center in Batesville. Also, at yesterday's briefing, Smith said 64 people are currently hospitalized with COVID-19 in Arkansas and 23 were on ventilators. As has usually been the case in these briefings, we are expecting that number to go up. Smith also said that 79 healthcare workers in the state have tested positive for the virus. And last week, the governor's office released projections saying we could see as many as 3,500 cases of the coronavirus here in Arkansas in 2 weeks' time. But when you compare that to real cases, real positive test results, it looks like we are slightly under the projections. We were expected to have about 900 cases right about now. And while officials say the state's testing capacity has grown rapidly, there is a nationwide shortage of reagents and other supplies used in coronavirus testing that, of course, has been affecting testing here in Arkansas. But despite that, Health Secretary Dr. Smith says hospitalizations are a good indicator to see if we are indeed flattening the curve here in Arkansas, and that social distancing and other restrictions on business and other daily life here in Arkansas is working. The state has ordered millions of units of personal protective equipment, but we haven't heard similar frustrations with the bidding process. That's the process when states essentially bid against each other for personal protective equipment and equipment like ventilators. We haven't heard frustrations from Governor Hutchinson as we've heard from other officials nationally, like New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Here in Arkansas, as far as financial impact of the coronavirus outbreak goes, we have seen 30,000 estimated unemployment claims here in Arkansas. 275 people have applied for small business loans through the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. Those will total about $3 million, and Governor Asa Hutchinson says those will be going out next week. And yesterday, at yesterday's briefing, we also heard that Governor Asa Hutchinson is considering some restrictions to discourage out-of-state travel. He said that he would not be considering making checkpoints at the borders with states, especially states that are so-called hotspots like Louisiana, but he did say he would consider closing some of the state's more popular state parks. It's unclear whether we will hear more about that today. We are still awaiting the briefing here. We are watching a live picture from the governor's conference room there at the state capitol. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. And again, we are awaiting live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest coronavirus briefing. The number of cases of coronavirus in Arkansas are at 566 at last check from the health department, and currently 8 people have died from the virus. Other recent developments here on the coronavirus front here in Arkansas, we saw our first death of someone associated with a nursing home patient, on Monday. We have also recently completed, just last Saturday, a special legislative session that was created to create the COVID-19 Rainy Day Fund. And that is essentially a budget surplus that's being used to fill a $353 million budget gap that was caused by the postponement of the state income tax filing deadline. And of course, from lost state revenue from businesses. And we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson now.
Thank you for joining us today for this coronavirus update. I apologize for being a few moments late, but I had a longer than expected telephone conversation with Vice President Mike Pence, along with Dr. Birx, and I was very pleased to raise some issues with them, but also to hear their response. Dr. Smith was able to sit in on some of that call. But I raised the issue with them about where we are in Arkansas and as we look to the future, that we're going to need more ventilators down the road. And he gave us confidence that when we need ventilators, we're going to have ventilators. Now, that doesn't stop us from planning and working and trying to acquire what we need to acquire, but certainly the Vice President and the President understand the future needs that a state like Arkansas has, and they're committed to work with us in meeting those needs. I was also delighted to have Dr. Birx join the conversation. And actually, I was talking with the Vice President, and he saw Dr. Birx out there and called her into the conversation. And I raised the issue of where we are in modeling here in Arkansas. And she was delighted with what we've done with our social distancing, with our restrictions that we have in place, and also the success that we're having in terms of reducing the arc and flattening that curve. And I asked her help in continuing to look at our modeling in Arkansas to get an idea of the future. So we're going to be sharing data with them, and hopefully we'll have their input into our future modeling as we might have to adjust in the future. I'm glad to be joined again by Dr. Nate Smith. We have Secretary Hurst here to make some comments about our state parks. I also have Secretary Mike Preston from Commerce that needs to talk about unemployment insurance and how they're handling the crush of unemployment applications that's coming through their department. Yesterday, I reported 523 cases of coronavirus in Arkansas, COVID-19, with 64 hospitalized. Today, that's had an increase of 61, and that raises the total of COVID-19 viruses to 584. That it leaves 56 hospitalized and 25 on ventilators that Dr. Smith will talk about. There's been two additional deaths since yesterday in my report, bringing the total deaths to 10. I want to speak about testing for just a minute. Dr. Smith has worked very hard with our labs to make sure that we have the reagents that are needed. And over the last 24 hours, we've had 65 tests performed by UAMS, 147 by the Department of Health, and commercial labs, 691. That was another exciting point to the Vice President, because they've really put a lot of emphasis on the commercial labs and how they're adding to the mix of the states. And clearly, even though it's a little bit delayed, they're giving us a bulk of the testing information across Arkansas. So as you can see, that's over 800 tests in the last 24 hours, which gives us a significant understanding of where we are in the state, even though we'd always like to have more, and we'll continue to work on that. That leads me to an announcement today, and that is I'm very pleased to announce a partnership with Walmart, with the state of Arkansas, and with Quest Laboratories to initiate a pilot project for a drive-through testing facility in Benton County, in Bentonville, that will be focusing on first responders and healthcare workers that show symptoms. And this will put a focal point on them to make sure they have immediate access to testing if they need it. They will be an app that will be available so that they can do a self test as to whether they need a formal COVID-19 test, and if they meet those requirements, then they'll be able to go through the drive-through, be safe for everyone, and get tested in a very, very quick turnaround time. I'm very proud of that partnership with Walmart. They've been working on it nationally, but they wanted to be able to bring one of their pilot projects here to Arkansas, and as we get everything working well in Bentonville, hope we'll be able to expand that to other parts of the state. And that partnership between Walmart, the state, and Quest Laboratories, it will be a very significant step forward in our testing capability. Finally, before I turn it over to Dr. Smith, I wanted to mention our state parks, that I've asked Secretary Hurst to review what more restrictions we need. I was concerned about out-of-state visitors that are coming here, also about the crowds that are not following social distancing requirements and guidelines that we have. Her recommendation was that we move only to day trip only use of our state parks where there's not overnight use of the facilities. Secondly, to restrict some of the parking that will limit some of the access. And thirdly, to give our park rangers the ability to enforce the guidelines to a greater extent. She'll go into this in a little bit more detail. I also wanted to say that in reference to the Buffalo River National Park, the scenic national park that we all value so much in Arkansas, that I talked to both local officials we've heard word from, our state legislators that are there, but also I talked to the park superintendent last night late, and the conclusion I reached is that I will be recommending to the Secretary of the Interior that the Buffalo River Scenic National Park be closed through this emergency, at least for a time until we can get a handle on it, until we feel like it's safe to reopen that. That's a decision that we've made by the Secretary of Interior, but it has my recommendation that I have made to him for that closure, and I advise the superintendent of the parks of that point as well. To illustrate it, yesterday, which was not spring break, that was just a regular day on a early in the week, there were 60% of the visitors were from out of state. Now you think about that in terms of hot spots across the country. The fact that other parks have closed certainly points to the need that if we're going to try to limit out-of-state visitors and the spread of COVID-19, that we needed to take this step, and I made that recommendation. So with that, let me recognize Dr. Nate Smith for his comments.
This is Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health, Dr. Nate Smith.
And thank you for your leadership and for your really tireless efforts to protect the people of Arkansas and to support our efforts at responding to COVID-19. And the governor won't mention it, but the vice president had some very nice things to say about our governor and his leadership. I want to give some more detail on our numbers. As the governor's mentioned, we have a total of 584 cases. That's up 61 from yesterday. The gender and racial distribution is pretty much the same as it's been. We have 18 children and 170 adults who are age 65 or older, and 396 who are aged 18 to 64. We have 18 of those eight of those are pregnant women. 50 have diabetes, 40 have heart disease, 26 have chronic lung disease, 12 have chronic kidney disease, we have one with chronic liver disease, and 18 who are immunocompromised. 84 of our 584 positive cases are healthcare workers. That's up 5 from yesterday. And I don't yet have the breakdown by profession, but we're working on that. We'll have that tomorrow. We have 51 who are residents of nursing homes. That's up 4 from yesterday. There are 56 who are currently hospitalized. That's actually down 8 from yesterday. We have 25 of those who are on ventilators. That's up 2 from yesterday. There was a question previously about how many have ever been on a ventilator. We've had 32 total who have ever been on a ventilator due to COVID-19 in Arkansas. And we've had 90 who have ever been hospitalized due to COVID-19 in Arkansas. As the governor mentioned, we have 2 additional deaths, so we have a total of 10. Those 2 are both in that age group greater than 65. And we have 42 who have recovered. That's up 7 from yesterday. I did mention that we have 4 additional nursing home residents who have tested positive. 2 of those were at the Villages of General Baptist in Pine Bluff. That brings their total up to 4 residents who have tested positive, and 2 of those are from the waters of Whitehall, in Whitehall, and that brings their total to 8. We're very concerned about our nursing home population. They're a very vulnerable population. Long-term care facilities in general, but nursing homes in particular, are places where COVID-19 is known to spread quickly, and we're very happy that we've not seen that kind of explosive spread in the nursing homes where we have positive cases, but it's something we're watching very carefully. In fact, we have support for that from our partners. Was on the phone with Roche Diagnostics, and to support us in our efforts to test all of the residents and all the workers at the nursing homes where we have had positive cases, they have sent us additional reagents for our automated extractor, and we received those this morning. That's enough for us to do 480 of those tests, so that was very, very welcome. In terms of our lab testing, we have been able to scale that up. Yesterday, the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab did 147 tests, which is the largest number that we've been able to do in a single day. Our total tests, UAMS, Arkansas Department of Health, and commercial, yesterday was 903. And our total testing in the state to this point is 7,124. So we are making progress, obviously still not where we hope to be to really get a good picture of what's going on in our state, but we're certainly making progress in the right direction. And lastly, I received a text from a friend this morning. Hey doc, what can I do to help save the world? And I think there's a lot of Arkansans who want to know what they can do. What can they do in the midst of this really historic event? And my response was, one, you need to take care of yourself. Make sure that you are doing the things that you know to do to protect yourself from being infected with COVID-19. Second, check in with as many other people as often as you can. There are a lot, especially of our older Arkansans, who, you know, doesn't hurt to have a phone call, someone checking in on them, making sure they're doing okay. And then I would say for all of us, third, remember that if we work together and do the things we know to do, we're going to get through this okay. And with that, I'll close and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Nate, and Secretary Hurst.
This is Stacy Hurst, Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism.
Thank you very much, Governor. The recommendation that we made to the governor last night was based on three things. First of all, actual visitation data that we have collected through our online reservation system at state parks. Secondly, observations on day use from our park staff and from the public. And finally, best practices from other states. It is our desire to keep state parks open, but only where it is safe and manageable to do so. On this Friday morning, April 3rd, we will move to day use only across our state park system, eliminating all overnight opportunities. This is consistent with 28 other states, and we believe it will further reduce the number of out-of-state visitors that are coming to Arkansas. We're adding additional measures on top of this day use only scenario to further limit crowding and reduce risk. For example, the parking situation at state parks can sometimes get so crowded in the parking lots that it overflows to the highways and streets surrounding the parks. And we are going to designate that only parking is allowed on site in approved lots. So at some state parks, they'll be able to close gates. Not all of them can do this, but some of them will be able to close gates to visitors when the parking lot is full. They'll also be able to issue citations if overflow parking goes out onto the highways and streets to get to the park. So our superintendents will be watching for that and managing that. We will also close some trails that are particularly problematic. Two examples that I can share with you today: Cedar Falls Trail at Pettigene State Park will close, as well as the East and West Summit Trails at Pinnacle Mountain State Park. Our park rangers will travel throughout state parks and work to disperse gatherings. Superintendents and interpreters, our uniformed staff, will actively work to educate visitors on site. And finally, our park rangers that are might be stationed at another park in another part of the state that is has less visitation will be deployed to parks that are more overcrowded so that we can better manage crowds. We'll move those staff resources across the system to where they are needed the most. Full information on all these changes and full trail and site closings will be posted on the State Parks website and on our social media pages. We are continuing to work on that through the day, but we should have it up there by this afternoon. And if these measures aren't enough to address issues of overcrowding and inadequate social distancing, we'll pivot and make new recommendations to the governor. This is a very fluid situation, but we are staying on top of the data and the best practices across the country, and we will adjust as needed. Thank you. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Stacy. I know your teams worked very hard on that and continue to do so, and the park rangers express my thanks to them. And Mike Preston has done an amazing job with his team there addressing the historic flood of unemployment insurance applicants, and also to get money out to the small businesses that are hurting in Arkansas today. So, Mike, I know you've got some points you need to make.
This is Secretary of Commerce Mike Preston.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate your leadership, and to fellow cabinet members, your leadership as well in this time. I do want to speak specifically about our unemployment insurance and just a couple of updates. And first to all the workers who are out there around the state in our unemployment offices. You guys are on the front lines working, around the clock essentially right now, and we appreciate your hard work and your dedication to this. Understanding we went from processing about 1,000 claims a week to literally falling over a cliff and having to do 30,000 next week, and by all indications we'll be at that same level this week. So trying to keep up with that volume is certainly putting a strain on our system and our people, but appreciate the work they're doing. What I want to specifically address is the pandemic unemployment compensation, which was a part of the CARES Act that was passed. This addresses those self-employed workers, the independent contractors, the gig economy workers. We are still waiting guidance from the Federal Department of Labor on how that will be implemented. What we're seeing now is a flood on our system of those workers calling and trying to go ahead and apply for the unemployment insurance. We are not able to process it. So I'd say please hold off if you're one of those employee or one of those workers who fall into that category, because right now we cannot help you until we get the guidance from the Department of Labor. As soon as we do, we will send out a news release. We'll send out through our social media channels just exactly how that's going to work. We hope to have that sometime later this week from the Department of Labor, but right now we're seeing a backload on the system because of that. We've added additional employees. We've reassigned employees within the Department of Workforce Service and within the Department of Commerce who are now answering phone calls, inputting into the system. So you have folks from insurance, from economic development, from finance, all trying to handle this process as we're trying to go through the onslaught of claims that we're going through right now. So please be patient. Go to the website. It'd be the easiest way to do it. But again, those folks who are looking at the pandemic unemployment compensation, that will have further guidance from the Department of Labor this week. But until then, we're not going to be able to process your claim. So if you get on there and spend a lot of time and it kicks back, that's why. And then you call and ask the questions, it kind of holds up the phone line. So we want to keep those phone lines open. We have added additional capacity to the website, so that should be moving faster today. We're excited about that, and hopefully we're going to be able to keep up with this demand. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mike. With that, I turn it open for questions. Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned last week, I think it was, about putting together a task force made up of legislators and people you would put together to address state needs. Has that been done?
I created through executive order a task force. It was a working group for the CARES Act fund and steering group for that purpose, that is legislators and my administration. And so that's the only thing I can think of that I referred to. But you know, the purpose of that is we're going to have a large amount of federal dollars coming in between now and December 30th. And I wanted to have legislators, my administration, working together, making recommendations as to how that those funds should be utilized to address the current crisis. And so that is in works. That executive order has been entered, and that steering group is moving forward. Selected. They have been selected. They have not met yet. They have been selected. Yes.
In your phone call with the Vice President and Dr. Birx, did they say anything about our status in terms of having a stay-at-home order? I know Florida just issued an order. Did they say if that's something that we should be doing? Or
no, they are very pleased with the way we're bending the curve, and I talked about the restrictions that we have in place. And you've got to be mindful, like Texas, Governor Abbott issued an order, and it basically said, defined what essential services are, but did not direct a stay-at-home for everyone else that's not engaged in essential services. So, you know, we are taking it very thoughtfully. We're going through it as to what we need to close to accomplish our objectives. And, you know, most governors just simply broaden the definition of essential services, so everything's an essential service. And so we can do that, and we might have to do that because there is some, you know, public messaging that, you know, if you're not doing something important, you need to stay home. I think we've conveyed that. I think we have conveyed that through everything that we're doing. And so the Vice President's office, we just articulated what we're doing here. They applaud that. Clearly, we're getting ahead of the curve. And the key is that people pay attention to what we're doing. And I think we've taken those measures. You look at, you know, the malls, for example. I mean, even though they're technically open, the people are staying at home. There are some essential services that are offered, goods that are needed that can stay open. But people are handling this in a responsible way. We just want to enforce that and to make sure that those that are not being responsible are reminded of who they can harm. And so I think the Vice President is pleased with where we are, but we'll continue to look at that with them as to whether anything in addition should be done. Mike.
Representative Murdoch tested positive. Just your reaction and any suggestions in light of that for the fiscal session?
I'll let Dr. Smith address that. He advised me, and of course he kept the confidentiality, but I understand that there's public information on that. And I spoke with Speaker Shepherd as well. The social distancing that they accomplished during the session gives the legislators confidence that they were not at risk during that time, and that is the benefit from it. And so it just reinforces the importance of what they did, the steps that they took, and obviously as we enter into the time of the fiscal session, it reiterates or emphasizes the importance of those measures that they took. Dr. Smith?
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Okay, in your estimation, should the Joint Budget Committee be meeting in Big Mac?
Well, first, as far as this specific case, based on what we know about the timing and the measures that were used to accomplish social distancing, we don't believe that there was a higher significant risk to the other legislators. However, we will recommend to them as well as to anyone else, if you develop symptoms, get tested and self-isolate until you have those results back. I know that meeting is important. The measures that they took in the House to spread themselves out and to maintain social distance, I think, are laudable. They went over those with us before they went over their plans with us before they put them in place, and I trust that they will in future meetings as well.
He says he wasn't showing any symptoms, so why did he get tested?
I don't have any specific information. What I've heard is that he wanted to get tested. And it is true that there are some people who will initially have no symptoms, but will test positive, and then they may go on to develop symptoms later. Now, when someone doesn't have symptoms, it's a little difficult to interpret a negative test, though, which is why we generally don't recommend it. If the test is negative, it could be that that person isn't infected, or it could be that they are infected, but they just don't have enough virus yet to be picked up on the test.
So if we're trying to prioritize things, how does somebody who's asymptomatic get in?
Our priorities, I think I've shared before, healthcare workers, those who are hospitalized, nursing home or long-term care facility residents and workers, and then those who are symptomatic, especially those who are age 65 and older and have underlying medical conditions. But there's a fourth classification is a physician or a provider feels that there's a compelling reason, some decision that would be made based on that test, then we'll defer to their judgment and go ahead and that's supported. We generally won't do those tests at the Arkansas Department of Health unless there's a time sensitivity to it, but people can send those off to a commercial lab and get those results.
Can you be more specific on that 19 to 64 range in terms of how many positives we got? Are they trending more towards that 64, or is it a pretty even distribution?
Well, the highest risk, of course, of more severe outcomes is with those who are older and those who have underlying medical conditions. We continue to have plenty of cases in younger adults. Again, a higher proportion of them are going to end up having mild symptoms. But if you look at our numbers from today, almost 400 of our 584 are those I call younger adults, age 19 to 64. Since I'm in that category, I'm going to consider them younger adults.
Will any of the quick result tests from Abbott Labs be in use in Arkansas?
We hope that we hope they will, and we hope that we'll get them as quickly as possible. I understand that we are not the highest priority because we don't have one of these explosive outbreaks going on right now. But I talked to CDC Director Robert Redfield last night, and he was optimistic that we will be able to use those. They have a very rapid turnaround, so you can get results right away. So they're very helpful in certain situations where you need that information quickly. And we're already working with Abbott to see how we can get those results reported to us in real time.
The White House estimated that if everybody does what they should, we'll have like 200,000 deaths in the U.S. Did they give you any estimate for Arkansas, or do you have any estimate for the number of deaths that we'll have here?
No, we really don't. The question was about how many estimated deaths, and again, that's very much a ballpark figure, I know, for the country. For Arkansas, we really don't know. It really depends a lot on what we do today. So far, our epidemic curve has been flatter than most places, and a lot of this has to do not with just the number of cases that you have, but who's getting sick. If we can protect our nursing home residents, which is one of our top priorities, then we should have fewer deaths. And if we can stretch it out over a longer period of time so we don't have that surge that overwhelms our system, if we can have our peak later than other states, then there'll be more resources, particularly ventilators, available and less need to make difficult decisions.
Of the most recent deaths, did any of them have any underlying conditions?
Yes. One of these two at least had significant underlying conditions.
I guess for anybody who's in treatment, what exactly does that look like, or what are we doing to actually treat the people who are suffering from COVID-19?
Yes, the question is, what do we do to treat people who have COVID-19 infection? There are no proven treatments for COVID-19 at this point. There are things that have been tried and some that have more promise than others, but the major and most important thing is supportive care, especially for those who are sick or who are hospitalized. Make sure they have IV fluids, make sure they have support, oxygen, if they need a ventilator, ICU care if they need it. These are the things that we know get people through and help them to survive. Now, there may be other treatments that come along that we find work well, but right now we don't have any proven treatments for this virus. I know that at least one of them was in central Arkansas. The other one, I don't have complete information at this time.
MSNBC mentioned last night that Rogers, Arkansas, could potentially be another spot where this could really flare up. Have you seen anything that would suggest otherwise, or anything that would support or not?
Well, Northwest Arkansas has always been an area that we've been looking at very carefully, initially because they had a lot of international travelers, and they also have one of our largest population centers. So we've been watching them very carefully. So far, we've not seen an escalation in the number of cases. I think the people there are very concerned and are taking pretty significant actions at social distancing. So if they continue to do that, hopefully we'll continue to see a relatively low number of cases.
Dr. Smith, you mentioned the ultraviolet light and the role that plays heading into the summer months. Could you expand on that a little bit, and the humidity and that?
We know that ultraviolet light tends to degrade most viruses, some decontamination protocols actually use ultraviolet light sources, but ultraviolet light from the sun, like you get outside, is also very helpful in decreasing the risk of transmission for a wide variety of germs, pathogens. And so that's why I've encouraged being outside and keeping a healthy distance is a good thing. Hopefully, as the summer months come and we get longer days and more ultraviolet light, we hope that we'll see fewer cases, but remember, this is a new virus. It was first reported December 31st of 2019. It just got its 2019 by one day. If it had been one day later, we'd be calling it COVID-2020, but we don't have a summer's worth of experience, but we're hopeful.
One last question, maybe?
Gilbert, can you expand on the timeline of this partnership with Walmart and this clinic, where it stands and the app?
They expect this to be in operation early next week. I know, because I've been in discussion with them, that they've been working on this for some time, and this is a quick time frame to get it out, but they hope to be operational next week, where this is available for first responders, healthcare providers that have a concern and believe they need to be tested. With that, thank you all very much today.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking at his latest press briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. In today's briefing, we started with Governor Hutchinson saying he just got off a phone call with U.S. Vice President Mike Pence. And Dr. Deborah Birx, who is the Federal Coronavirus Response Coordinator, that's for President Donald Trump's Coronavirus Task Force, Governor Hutchinson said on that call, he told Vice President Pence and Dr. Birx that more ventilators are needed in the state. And once again, the total number of cases, 584 cases of COVID-19 here in Arkansas, 56 people hospitalized, that's down from 64 people yesterday. 25 people are on ventilators, and two more people have died of COVID-19 in Arkansas, bringing the total number of deaths in the state to 10. Again, Secretary of Health Dr. Nate Smith saying those two latest deaths were people who were both over 65 years of age. Another big piece of news, Representative Reginald Murdoch, he is a state legislator from Marianna, a Democrat in eastern Arkansas, has tested positive for the coronavirus. That's caused a little bit of concern as just last week, members of the House and Senate here in Arkansas convened for a special legislative session. that was called by Governor Hutchinson to address a budget shortfall due to the COVID-19 outbreak. Representative Murdoch, Dr. Smith said, did not have any symptoms but was in fact tested. Smith also said that the social distancing practices that the House and Senate put into place for the special session were laudable. Of course, the House met in the Jack Stevens Center, the basketball arena here at the campus of UA Little Rock. And again, 584 cases of the coronavirus here in Arkansas, two more deaths, bringing the total to 10 overall. A few other changes. We heard from Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism, Stacy Hurst, that all state parks in Arkansas will be moving only to day operations. That eliminates the use of overnight use, of course, camping. She said they will also be restricting parking at some of our more busy state parks, and she'll also be giving park rangers the ability to enforce the social distancing guidelines that the governor has put into place, that is to discourage groups of 10 or more people. The governor actually also recommended that, he said he is recommending to the federal Secretary of the Interior that the Buffalo National River should be closed. He said 60% of the visitors on a recent day to the Buffalo National River up there in northwest Arkansas were from out of state. Again, reiterating his call for stricter regulations on out-of-state travel, especially for people who are coming from so-called hot zones, especially the nearby state of Louisiana. We also heard more cases in nursing homes. Two more cases were identified at a nursing home in Pine Bluff, and two more at a nearby nursing home in Whitehall. That's bringing the total of four cases at the Pine Bluff nursing home and eight at the Whitehall nursing home. Again, with the parks, we also heard that a few more popular trails will be closed. The Cedar Falls Trail at Petit Jean over there near Marlton will be closed, and the East and West Summits at Pinnacle Mountain State Park here just outside of Little Rock will also be closed until further notice. Again, on the unemployment, Secretary of Commerce Mike Preston saying 30,000 people estimated to have applied for unemployment insurance this week. He's expecting more to be applying at a similar rate. He said they are still awaiting guidance from the Federal Department of Labor on pandemic unemployment compensation. That's the official name for it, but essentially that is compensation for gig economy workers, contractors, people who are self-employed. He says the system has pretty much been flooded by people trying to claim that, and they are still awaiting guidance from the federal government on that. Of course, that funding is coming from the multi-trillion dollar bailout called the CARES Act that the federal government had passed recently. Also speaking about the federal government, the White House estimated 200,000 deaths from COVID-19 in Arkansas. Dr. Nate Smith, the secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health, said he does not have an estimate. He has not heard an estimate from federal partners on how many deaths or how many cases that we could possibly see in Arkansas. Again, you have been listening to live special coverage from KUAR of the governor's latest coronavirus briefing. 584 total cases in Arkansas, 56 people hospitalized, 25 people are on ventilators, and so far 10 people have died. This is KUAR News.